Hello, welcome back to Stretford Paddock. We're back with another podcast. I'm joined today by Dave and Karthik. How are we doing?
Good, how are you doing, mate?
I'm not too bad.
Very good, very good indeed.
Feeling good after last night?
Yeah, obviously. pretty good, wasn't it? Considering that all the results, all the decisions went for us as well.
Yeah, it does help.
Some people aren't happy. But no, it's good.
Yeah. So, overall thoughts, really. Obviously, we saw Eric Bailly come back into the squad after a long spell out. Overall thoughts on his performance?
I was a bit worried about him. I thought he started off, and you could tell he'd not played for a while. And I think it worked fair to him at the end of the game. You thought he's not played for a while, but he just gradually improved. I mean, there was some last-ditch tackles he made that were brilliant. And also that in the box when he took it around two players. I mean, I was panicking there thinking he's going to get dispossessed here and they're going to have a goal. But yeah, he did all right, but you can tell he's not played for a while. No. Like, I think it's an hour he's played for the under-23s since he's been injured. And yeah, more game time, who knows. But he's one of them by any way you think. Sometimes he can be brilliant, other times he can be terrible.
As long as he stays fit, I feel like he's... Do you think he's in a good position to replace Lindelof as a starting centre-back?
Or? Possibly. I mean, he's better in the air for starters. And he's just more fun to watch, isn't he? He's like, what's he going to do next? I don't know. I've always said that if he can stay fit, he was up there with one of the best centre-backs in the league because he's got everything. He's got strength, he's got pace, he's got a good tackle on him. So there's nothing to say he can't be that number one choice, but it's, again, whether he can stay fit.
So, obviously, last night saw us set up with the three at the back as well, which is something that we've seen mainly in the big games this season. Do you think, when we have used it, it has been quite successful, obviously, City away and the Spurs game and obviously last night as well. Do you feel like that's something we should implement more, or just is it something to utilise in the big games?
I think he does it in the big games because defensively we're not that good at the moment, are we? I mean, Maguire, he is showing what he can do now, but I wouldn't say he's had the best of seasons considering what he did with Leicester. So I can understand why he's doing it in the big games, but if you're playing, I don't know, like Watford, for example, coming up, or Bruges, I can't imagine him playing back three. I think he'll just go back to how it was.
Especially the three that we use at the minute. I can't see Shaw being a full-time choice there. I'd rather have... If it was a back three of Bailly, Lindelof and Maguire, then maybe you could pull it off. Or maybe even Axel going in there.
Yeah.
But no, I don't think that'll be our major plan. I think for the foreseeable future, we want to go with a 4-2-3-1, 4-3-3.
It's fair to him. I think Shaw played well last night.
No, he did. He was all right, yeah. But long term,
I'm not the biggest fan of him, but you got to give credit where credit's
due. I think he has improved massively as well. I think, in a way, I think he's almost more suited to the third centre half, probably because he didn't have to do as much running.
He's got to know as well that Williams is there now, and if he wants to start starting in games, he's got to do more.
Do you think there's a case of you could probably move? Obviously, I think everyone does want to see Axel get a shot there as well, but with his injury record, it's a bit up and down. So do you think that Wan-Bissaka could potentially come into that and then put Dalot on the right-hand side? Because obviously we know Dalot's a lot better going forward.
Possibly, because I do like Wan-Bissaka, but he is defensively sometimes, he does switch off, and maybe that'll come good eventually. But there's certain instances where he does switch off. So, and I think Dalot's better going forward. I know Wan-Bissaka last night, he did brilliantly for the cross, the way he weaved and then crossed it in. But I think Dalot's much better going forward, and he'll have a shot as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to play Dalot, it has to be in the five rather than in the four, because I think defensively he'll get caught out more than Wan-Bissaka does. So if you're going to play Dalot then, and you still want Wan-Bissaka in the team, play him as a right centre half, and that could work.
So we feel like we said it after every decent result we've had this season. We're back within 2 points. Was it 3 points?
Three, fourth now.
Does this mean anything unless we can start being a bit more consistent? I mean, it's so tight there now, I don't even feel like you need to go on a mad 10-game unbeaten run. I think literally a run of three or four, possibly five wins on the bounce is probably going to set you in good stead to finish.
This is the problem, isn't it, though? We've not been consistent enough. We've done this against other bigger teams or teams that are above us anyway. Like beat City, and then what do we do? Through away against the lesser teams. It's just frustrating. And maybe now we've got Bruno in there, we've got someone steady in the midfield, it might change, but... But if we can just the next few games, let's say the next three games, if we win all them, we've got a chance.
Yeah, I mean, there's no point winning this if you're not going to win the next one. I've always said that the biggest game after a big game is the next one, and if you're not going to win, then it just doesn't mean anything. Especially Watford, that's a tricky game. That's not an easy one, and they beat us, so it's not going to be easy.
I mean, we're fortunate that it's at home as well. I wouldn't like to have
a, oh, know, yeah.
do two ways in a row. Yeah.
I feel like we're almost more suited 2 points away from home. Now, I know obviously Watford turned us over at their place, but I think the players play too much in themselves when we're at home due to the pressure possibly. And they know, I think teams know when they come to Old Trafford, they are just going to sit back and, you know, as we've seen all season, that doesn't really suit us.
I think the difference is now is that we are beatable. So teams go to Old Trafford thinking, right, we can win at Old Trafford here. Yeah. Teams not been able to do that. Well, not many teams have been able to do it over the years. So they're thinking, we've got a good chance here. So I think they beat up with the game when they come to Old Trafford now rather than when they're at home.
Like you say, I mean, now that we have Bruno in the team, it gives me a little bit more confidence going into those, thinking, you know what, actually, we have a bit of quality in this midfield, we can actually do something. Whereas if we were going into Sunday with Andres Pereira, I'd be thinking, well, what are we really going to do here? And add Ighalo into the mix, gives us something different to use in the game. It just fills me with a little bit more hope that we can actually do something with the team.
You start Ighalo on Sunday?
I start him on Thursday, and depending on how he does in that game, then maybe.
Yeah. I'd start him on Thursday, but I don't think I'd start him against Watford. I just don't think it's... I think he needs more games time. He didn't play much last night. It's like he plays a full 90 on Thursday. Mm. Is that really enough to then warrant a start? And
depends how he does in the game.
Yeah, I mean, you might play well against Bruges, but if he didn't score or get whatever...
Should have scored last night, really, as well.
Yeah.
I was ready to fully lose it.
He's just his nice little touches and stuff. When he looked fairly solid. Yeah. I didn't realise how set he is. He's a big unit.
Big unit.
Yeah. Moving on to Mino Raiola's recent comment. obviously, we all know what's been said about... It's been a constant saga with the whole Paul Pogba issue, and obviously he seems to put his focus a bit more on attacking Ole now at the minute. I mean, is anyone really shocked that it's gone the way it's gone, or
no? He's just an annoying person now. I mean, every time I see something about him, I just think, oh, here we go again. Do you know what I mean? It's like, and I think Ollie felt like that in the post-match interview. He looked quite annoyed that he had to talk about this after a good win away from home, and it was just a case of waiting for the summer till it's over. It's become like that now. We're all just going, oh, don't worry, he'll go in the summer, and we won't have to deal with it. But then, like you said off camera, Jesse Lingard's still working with him, and if we don't sell Jesse Lingard, we're still with Raiola.
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, I don't know where it ends.
My thing with fans have turned against Pogba before this has happened.
Yeah.
If Pogba was with another agent, would we be talking about Pogba leaving in the summer?
Probably not.
Has Pogba really said that much? He said the odd thing.
I think the issue with Pogba stems from him not telling Raiola just to keep his mouth shut.
Yeah.
Which he could quite easily.
He can do, but how many times do you hear players speak about their agents? No one ever does it. They always say, oh, I'm just concentrating on the football, which they are. But if he was someone else, I don't think these stories in the papers would be coming out. He wants to go this, blah, 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 all this news on Twitter. So I'm on Pogba's side, but I'm just thinking, I've given him the benefit of the doubt.
I was like you with obviously trying to defend Pogba as much as you can. Same. But I think he has got to a point now, like I say, I said it on my news video this morning, it's Raiola that works for Pogba, it's not the other way around.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting though, because he's injured at the moment. If he, like the next game he was fit, which he's not going to be, because he's not going to be interviewed for a while, is he?
Yeah.
To see what he actually thought, because obviously the press had asked him about it. I think he's fortunate that he's injured, that no one's going to be asking him these questions.
I don't think he plays another game though.
I
wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't play another game.
I really do think he will. I mean, there's a lot of rumours saying he's going in the summer, but I would not be surprised if he stayed.
I don't see how he can stay now. I think with everything that's been said,
who's going to pay the money for him?
That's one thing that I can see him staying and it just continuing. Like, no one matches our price for him.
If someone comes in for 80 million, I'd say no. You know, we want this 100, 120 million that everyone's talking about. If we don't get that, don't let him go.
We saw that with Lukaku in the summer, though, didn't we? I mean, we held out, I think it was around, we wanted 75 for Lukaku around.
But the difference was he wanted Lukaku gone, Solskjaer.
Do you not think he's going to? I know when he came in, he said he does want to build a team around Pogba, but the way it's gone, do you not think he'd be more looking forward to getting him out now to build a team around Fernandes?
Like I was saying to you earlier, it'd be interesting, Fernandes and Pogba together, see what they're, because that might change it all. If them two form a midfield partnership, Pogba might think, right, I'm here for the long haul now, because that's the problem he's never had anyone in the middle with him.
Yeah.
You got remember McTominay, he played brilliantly, but he's not a top class player, is he? Fred is showing what he can do at the moment, but he's not the top class. And like you were saying before, Pereira.
Yeah.
I mean, what's Pogba got to deal with it? You come from Juventus, where he's got these top players around him. He comes to United and he's just got...
I mean, we say he could stay because no one will pay the price. But do you think that's why Raiola's doing what he's doing, trying to put, I don't know, maybe
cause as much division as he can? So we are going to have to take a hit. Is it? Possibly, yeah. I think like you just said that, I think teams probably won't look at him, especially the fact he hasn't played all season, won't help us in trying to get over 100 million for him. So I think teams are going to try and take advantage of the fact that they can probably not get him on the cheap, because still going to get a big figure for
Euros
him.
Euros might help.
Yeah.
and this is the thing that I hate about football, but it's probably a factor in it. Pogba's a face and he creates money.
Yeah.
And with the owners we have, they're not going to want to see him go because he brings in money.
Even with everything that's gone on, he's still definitely our most prized asset, as you'd say. But do you think it's not just with Pogba and Raiola, do you think it's an issue in modern day football now, the whole agents and players? I think it was Roy Keane that said it yesterday after the game. Just players are more interested in their own entourages than they are with their actual football club.
I don't know. I mean, I'm all. You got to have a life at the end of the day. When the football's on and you're playing football and you're training, you put the effort in. You hear Solskjaer talking about players. Yeah, he's brilliant in training this week. He put all the effort in the match. But I think once you put the key in the door at home, you can do what you want. You don't have to. I mean, within reason, but you do. you shouldn't be there at home thinking, right, what am I going to do this week? You know, have a life. When you get home from work, you don't want to be thinking about work all the time. And so I know it's. It's a privilege to play football, but you got to have a life outside of it.
Yeah, I think I take your point. I think people do forget that footballers are human beings in that respect. I mean, I know people always throw look at how much money they're on. Mm. But they don't really get a Christmas off. They don't really get a New Year off. They miss birthdays, all sorts of family events and stuff like that.
It's hard, isn't it? Because it's more of an isolated thing than you think. Yeah. It's like when you're outside of training, you have to be on your own, and it's just. Different world.
Well, if you're an international player as well, how often can you go away? You know, you've got all this money and you think, oh, I'll be in Barbados this week, he'll be on Australia. You can't do that.
No. So I was looking at some of the big results we've had this season. Obviously, I hate calling it a big result, but on the face of it, the draw at home to Liverpool, obviously the win away at City, the win at Tottenham, I mean, obviously last night, none of those teams involved Paul Pogba. Do you think we are a better team without Pogba or not?
No, I think we're a better team with him. I don't care what anyone says. That was it. Newcastle where he came on when he
it was Watford. When it when
was,
he
was just no, at, when at home he came on at a game at home. Was it Newcastle at home?
It might have been. Yeah,
possibly. It was a game.
Yeah, it was.
And before McTominay got injured, and when he came on the pitch, McTominay had been playing brilliant all season. And when he came on the pitch, you thought, actually, McTominay's bang average because Pogba made him look average because he was that good. He was just pinging balls left and right. I hate to say it, he's our best player.
He is, but does he fit into what we're trying to do as a team? That's the thing.
Well, like I said to you earlier, no, because we didn't have the midfielders around him.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Now with Fernandes, we've got another player with him. Maybe you get another one, or maybe McTominay can do the holding role of just being a bruiser. But if he's got someone with him, he's going to flourish.
I mean, I would love to see what he does with Fernandes in the team, but I just feel we're not going to be able to see that. But on paper, yeah, he is our best player and he does make us a better team. Well, it's just whether he does it on a consistent basis.
Because if we get rid of Pogba, we're not going to say, right, well, we've got Fred, we're going to have to get someone else in that quality. And are we going to get someone else in? So I think you've got to put all your eggs in one basket, really.
Yeah. So in an ideal situation for both of you, what is the outcome in terms of the whole Pogba situation?
Sell.
I think he's going to stay. I've just got. It's been.
But is that what you want?
No, I do think that. Okay. I think since we bought him every season, every transfer window, there's always been, oh, he wants to go here, he wants to go there. And it's just the same old every year. So I just think he'll stay.
The problem with me, I think that's just a detriment to the club, though, because it's like you said, we've come off the back of a great result last night. Obviously, the performance was okay. But obviously, it's put us back into a shout with top four. And still, that's all anyone can talk about now.
The first question is,
he sells papers. Yeah. Because Pogba sells papers. Like I was saying to you before, he's the face of football at the moment. He's the face of Adidas. People are interested in him. That's why I don't think United as a whole will let him go, because he brings a lot of money into the club.
So we briefly mentioned how much we are wanting for Pogba. How much, realistically, do you think he's going to go for? And looking at that pricing on top of the budget we should be getting in the summer already, where do you think we need to invest into the team, and personnel wise who stands out for you to come in?
If Pogba goes, we've got to get someone to replace him, and I still do think we need another midfielder.
Yeah.
As well as saying this earlier, I'd go for someone like Sancho. We need a right-sided player. We've got no right-sided players at all. Everyone's on the left. You know, Rashford, Martial, Dan James, everyone's on the left-hand side. Greenwood plays on the left. So if we need a proper, decent right-sided player, and I think someone like Sancho would be brilliant for us.
Yeah, I think whatever we get from Pogba, it'll go towards Sancho. I think that's going to be the big story of the summer, and I think Grealish is doable as well. And I think we'll end up signing Ighalo on a permanent, because I just think that's something United would do.
I can't see that. We'll just end up doing it.
I don't want to.
If Rashford never got injured, we'd never be hearing about Ighalo, so I can't see that happening.
Well, I don't know, but yeah, that would be what I'd do.
Yeah, I thought you mentioned Ighalo there. For me, he's almost like a. It was like my second Falcao.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just...
It's already played better than Falcao. It's
more shots on
time. I had flashbacks yesterday because the one thing I always remember of Falcao is, I think it was QPR he made his debut, wasn't it? At Old Trafford.
Yeah.
And I always remember him going through and he tried to dink it. I can't remember who the keeper was at the time for QPR. But he just tried to dink it over, and I'm still convinced if he'd have took that away...
Different story.
Yeah, he'd stay for years.
Yeah, I remember watching Falcao, and every time he played, I just kept thinking... Please score. Yeah. It's going to be that with Ighalo.
I don't know. With Falcao, he was dreadful season after, wasn't he?
Oh, he was. Yeah, so bad. For them lot over there,
for Chelsea. I mean, he was just a bad, bad player, wasn't he? And I've got this...
So sad.
Remember him playing at Old Trafford for the reserves, and he got taken off at half-time because he was that poor. Yeah. He just went home because... And after I saw that, I just thought, yeah, that's the end. He's never going to make it at United.
I think Pete Falcao was away at Preston in the FA Cup, and he had an absolute shocker again. Yeah. You can see his number getting held up, and you can see he's like, I've played shit, I know I'm coming off. I'm going to try and act like it definitely isn't me coming off. So, obviously, you briefly mentioned Sancho there. Do you think he fills in the creative side that Pogba's going to leave?
No. I think it's a completely different role, but I just think having a front three, Rashford, it's all about who's going to play. Because Martial, like last night, he scored a great header, but I want to impress him in the slightest.
Do you think... Based on the business we do with them, something there could be a change in system going into next season.
Possibly.
So obviously, we've seen the 4-2-3-1.
Yeah, possibly it could go to a flat three. Yeah. But in terms of the front line, Sancho, I think he could fill in the goal contributions that Pogba brings. But obviously, you need another midfielder in there, which is why we're being linked with like a Madison, a Grealish.
Well, it's one of if Pogba goes, I think they'll go in for both of them.
Oh, stop it!
But stop if he stays, I think they'll go for one.
I saw that the other day. I'm just trying to calm down. No.
Both Madison and Grealish.
May.
Would it work though?
I don't know. We need England to start trialling it.
I think if we didn't sign Fernandes, I think you probably could have fit both of them in the same starting lineup. I feel like Grealish probably is a bit more industrious than Madison, whereas I feel like Madison's just an all-out creator. So I feel like you could probably still fit Grealish in this team, but I'd struggle to see how you fit Madison, Grealish and Fernandes all in the same.
Could you not go Fernandes in the 8, Madison in the 10, and Grealish either left or right?
Is there not a case? I know he does play out there for Villa quite a lot, but is there not a case that, again, like Dave just said, that we've got a lot of players that are
that left hand side? It's just a case because we're already fluid as it is with Rashford and Martial, so trying to fit them in somewhere there could
be a bit
work,
kind of fluid there.
Well, I mean, when Rashford and Martial both play, those two are a bit more fluid than the rest of the team.
Those two in particular do seem to play a lot better when they are in the team together. I think when Martial got injured early on in the season, obviously we didn't see Rashford to his best, and then obviously vice versa. We haven't really seen Martial perform too well recently. With Martial, there always seems to be a question mark over him, whether he is good enough to be the out-and-out number 9 for United. I think it's a tricky one with him because... For me personally, I always think as long as a striker scores your goals, he's doing his job right. And again, I think last night was good evidence of that it wasn't his best performance, let's be honest, but he was still there to get the goal.
No, it was a great goal. The header was brilliant, but for me, if he went at the end of the season, I wouldn't be sorry. No.
Yeah, I mean, he seems a completely different player without Rashford. He's just, the movement's not there, he doesn't look as sharp, but he's still got one of the best conversion rates in the league. And that's what makes me think there's something there.
I don't think you can deny his talent. I think Gary Neville's been quite critical of him, Roy Keane as well. And I don't think that's because they think he's a bad player. I just genuinely think it's because, his potential is so obvious to see.
His simple things are like giving the ball away as well. It's just so frustrating. And he gives away in positions, not in the box, when he's near the halfway line and things like that. And you think, it's just criminal. And I don't think he's confident in himself to do certain things. And maybe like that goal we saw at his debut when he scored against Liverpool, I can't imagine him doing something like that at the moment.
No.
No. Trying to, you know, he got a bit lucky in that goal, but he tried to get past a few players and slot it. I just don't think he could do that at the moment.
I think that naturally just comes down to pressure, though. I think, obviously, when he came in, I think he just thought, sod it, I'm just going to try and play my game as best he can. Obviously, he got the goal against Liverpool, but I feel now that he's an established first-team player, I think he knows that he does get criticised heavily by a certain section of the fans. So that probably does play on his mind a bit more.
I'd like to see how he does with Ighalo up front. Yeah, I feel like he's better when he's playing off someone else.
Yeah,
I feel like that could be a natural partnership there.
I think one thing that always gets levelled at him as well is his inconsistency, which I do think is unfair because us ourselves are an inconsistency. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can go from one game to creating about 10 chances and not putting anything in the way in the back of the net, and then creating one chance and taking it. So I think it's difficult to criticise certain players like Martial while we're not the best at the moment.
Yeah, I do think though if he went to followed suit and gone to somewhere like Inter Milan, I think he'd flourish because he'd have more time on the ball.
Yeah.
He just doesn't. He wants more time here, and he just doesn't have it. Like I said before, when he first came, he seemed instinctively just got past players and one touch. But now he thinks about it too much. Maybe he just needs that switch to turn off where he doesn't think.
Yeah, Martial in that league would be insane because of the type of player he is. He likes running at people. He likes having time on the ball. So I think that's what he's struggling with a little bit at the minute because he was playing out wide where you tend to get a little bit more time in space. Whereas when you're in the middle, you're being tightly marked. You don't have a lot of time.
But he wasn't really playing the middle last night, was he?
Not really, no. But I think the role he's expected to play.
I think in that system as well, obviously your strikers have got a split, haven't they? So I think, again, he was getting down that side quite a lot. But like you said, the simple things, just his touches and giving the ball away. He's not a weak player, but he did get pushed off the ball quite a lot last night as well, which, again, it's a bit disappointing to see. But I would slow down on the judgment with him just at the minute. Coming over to a few of the comments now, there is a few, bear in mind we haven't really spoken about, and there's a few people talking about Pochettino. Again, it's news that hasn't gone away, as we all know. And do you think that come the end of the season it is going to be Ole Gunnar?
Well, I mean, why would you want Pochettino? Good manager, can't argue with that. But before he got the sack, whose squad was better, United's or Tottenham's?
Tottenham's, yeah.
And he did nothing with it.
No.
So why would you want him to come to us, who've got a lesser squad? What can he do with that? I just don't understand it.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's why I always say he's not won anything. I mean, he's good at building the squad. He's good at getting it towards the position where you then go, okay, now can he go and win something? But that's what Ollie's doing right now.
Yeah.
He's building it, so why would we want someone else to just do it again in their own way? So I'd say just let Ollie get on with it.
I think you make a good point there. I think, obviously, we all know we've been inconsistent this season, and it hasn't been. I mean, what if you won 10 games this season in the league? Which
it's only 10. Jesus Christ!
I think it's around that, mate. We haven't won as much as we should have done. But you look at it, like I say, we beat City twice this season. We beat Chelsea 3 times, Cameron. obviously beating Spurs as well. Obviously, the only team to take points off Liverpool. We have cracked it against the big teams, and I just think we've. The right recruitment in the summer, obviously we've mentioned Sancho and other players like that, bringing in those types of people who are going to help us in the smaller games to break teams down. You've got Sancho whipping balls in and playing on the counter-attack. We are going to break teams down next season.
Because I don't think a couple of players, and I think that team, I'm not saying they're going to win the league, but we'll be up there.
We're not as far away as...
No.
I've always said that having a team that can win the big games but can't beat the lesser teams is a much easier problem to solve than the other way around.
I mean, we're talking about these attacking players and midfielders, but we've not been great defensively, really. And I think De Gea's not been at the best this season as well. And there's been rumours that he's on his way out as well. But I'd like him to stay, but he won't be that disheartened because we've got someone like Dean Henderson who we can just slot in there, and he's proven now in the Premier League.
Do you think there's a question to be asked of that next season then?
Don't get me wrong, because Henderson looks amazing at the moment. And if someone came in and offered big money for De Gea, I think you'd take it because we've still got Romero as well, don't forget.
he does baffle me. Yeah.
So
crazy.
Take De Gea out of the equation. Any team would want Henderson and Romero as their two keepers.
Yeah. I love Henderson. I mean, I said it, I think it was when we still had Sam Johnstone and everyone was going on about him. And I was like, Henderson's the better one here. He's gonna make it. And then he went on the loan spell and he's been brilliant. I mean, in terms of next season, I think if he doesn't go to the Euros, then we might have a problem there where he goes, right, I need to leave here, otherwise I'm not going to get into the England squad.
You got to remember as well, he's playing for Sheffield, and they're above us.
Crazy, that is either one fluke season or Chris Wilder is just...
I think he's doing a great job.
I think it's Wilder, yeah.
A really, really good manager, and no one's quite picked up on it yet. Looking at a few more comments here. Oh, he's a Glazer puppet too.
Here we go.
I think that's another thing that gets levelled at him, because he doesn't really come out and criticise Woodward when, obviously, our transfer business hasn't been the great stuff, but there's only so much you can say in the media without... There was the whole thing with Mourinho. When Mourinho came out and complained, it was just, Mourinho moans too much, but now Ollie doesn't come out and do the same.
The difference was with Mourinho, though. Mourinho had the money, he bought whoever he wanted.
Yeah.
Whereas, do we really know what Solskjaer wanted? We're talking about, he's not been given the money, but did he really want to sign these players? You don't, it's all rumours. Like Haaland, I know he's doing brilliant now since he signed, but everyone's saying, he wanted him. But did he really? I don't think he did.
Just because of the play that we've brought in Ighalo, a physical presence, I think Haaland was the kind of player that we wanted.
But we brought in Ighalo as a loan because he knows once Rashford's back,
Rashford's going to be the main guy.
I think there'd been problems if we'd have brought Haaland in. We'd have had to sign him permanently, and then when Rashford's back, what do you do then? And I don't think
Rashford was playing off the left anyway, wasn't he? So could he not? Would he not come in for Martial and rotate out? That's what I personally thought would have happened. Ighalo turned down Barcelona. He chose Martial over Messi. That is a fact.
So
that should be the title. That should have been the title.
Martial over Messi.
Yeah.
People would get so
Martial FC representing right here.
Would you take Di Matteo since he won the
Is that him just coming?
Since he won the Champions League and the FA Cup in 6 months, Poch had a £23 million net spend when he was there.
Because Hiddink won the FA Cup, let's get him in.
He did great things, Di Matteo, but what happened to him at the end?
Yeah, it is of all the names we have been linked with his manager, I don't think Di Matteo was going to be one that I would see.
I've seen VS Bolton.
You sure that isn't you, Cameron, with a different name?
Thank you, Carl.
Yeah. Let's have a look at a few more. No Lingard over Messi.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Lingard, again, is he sort of in the same boat as Pogba now, where he's cut his ties with the club, obviously joined it with Raiola?
Yeah.
There's something going on with Jesse because he's not this bad. We've seen him.
No.
I wouldn't say he's brilliant, but he can be a great player. Some of the goals he scored and then first two seasons, when he's playing properly, he looked brilliant. Yeah. Something's happened to him because he just doesn't look that
player
anymore.
Must be his personal stuff.
Must be.
And you don't go to Raiola if you don't want to transfer.
Yeah,
you just don't.
I think the most disappointing for me with especially Lingard doing that as well is someone that, supposedly, I won't say supposedly, he does love United. And I think with the way he's gone with Raiola at the club as well, constantly slagging the club off as well, it's a weird situation with him joining up with Raiola.
The only thing I can think of is he's got other things going on in business-wise, and does he want Raiola to help him out with stuff like that? Get him into endorsement deals and things like that.
Clark and Rage hasn't exactly worked out how he thought it would.
Exactly, and maybe he wants someone to get him in, open doors for him certain things, because I don't know. But he knows at the moment he's not in favour at United because that's the way he's playing. But if he started playing like he did a couple of seasons ago, he'd be back in that team.
Yeah. I think Lingard's always one. He gets a lot of criticism, but he's not.
You forget he was a key part of the team when Ollie came in, and he was a key part of why we were playing so well. It was him and Herrera that were the key players.
100%.
It's better than he's shown.
Let's look at a few more. Everyone's getting a bit excited with these managers. Avram Grant is available.
Big Sam's out of a job.
Is that you again? Another Chelsea one.
Ollie in doing the best with the players at his disposal. Yeah, I think the Ollie and the Lampard debate's been something that's raged on throughout the entire season, really. But I think when you look at the two squads that they had available at the start of the season, yes, I know Chelsea didn't sign anyone and they lost Eden Hazard, but when you look at Chelsea's midfield, Jorginho, Kante and Kovacic compared to what we had.
If you had like the starting 11 there, starting 11, you go,
I think De Gea goes in,
yeah.
Maguire alongside Rüdiger and Rashford out on the left, and then the rest of them are up for debate, are the ones like Martial and stuff, but I can't.
Exactly. I think they've got a better squad, and we're only, 3 points off them, or two, whatever it is. I think he's doing a better job than what people think.
Don't judge anyone by trophies.
Who said that?
What else do you judge
Pochettino
someone by?
In the comments now, is it?
What else do you judge someone by? What a strange statement that is.
It's, I don't know. I think people just try and fit whatever agenda they want, and I think, like I said, as much as Ollie hasn't had experience at the top level, he has won trophies in Norway, and obviously people level it at Poch that he hasn't won anything. And I think people try and bend anything they can to try and
agenda. People are annoyed with Ollie is he's not Mourinho, where he'll come in, he'll win you a trophy, but he left us in the shit. And what Ollie's doing is he's building a team. He's trying to build for the next 10 years. He's thinking, I don't think we're going to do anything next season, but maybe the season after, that's where he's going to think about. And people haven't got that in mind. They're thinking, right, I want a trophy now, I want a win now. It's not like that
anymore. You can't do any more with the squad we have right now. You just can't.
Of course not. And he has got rid of a lot of the Mourinho players. Mm. I know, like, Fellaini wasn't signed by Mourinho, but he was a Mourinho player.
Yeah.
Lukaku was a Mourinho. Just big guy, lump it up to Matic. I know he played, but he's that type of player. I think he's going to get him out eventually. And you can understand what he's trying to do. He's trying to build this team, but play a certain way. And when we do play that way, we do look good, but it's just not working out every week.
No.
So, and I think within 2 years, he'll have that team. And if he can't do it, then that's when you think.
Yeah, I mean, you need him to build the rest of his team. You need to give him time to be able to do that, because right now we don't have a full squad. We're playing youngsters, not because we want to bring them in, but because they're the only ones left. And that's why I feel we haven't seen enough of players like James Garner, like Dylan Levitt. We need a squad around them, and everyone goes on about the class of 92, but they had a good team around them. And we don't have that right now, so that's what we need to work towards.
Yeah, I feel like the timing with Ollie's what's gone against him, really. I think not that it was ever in question, but I feel like if he'd have followed Ferguson, I feel like people would have been more patient. But I think with all the crap we've been through in the last five years,
I don't think they would have been patient, because I don't think people are patient enough with Moyes, really.
No.
I know we didn't finish that season great, but he should have been an extra year.
Do you think
it's because he went from winning the league to we didn't win the league?
I mean, he came to my uni once, and I spoke to him about the transfer policy that summer, and he, the kind of players he was telling me about. They were United quality players, Thiago, Gareth Bale at the time, Fabregas. Well. And I'm just thinking, if he was given that kind of support, maybe something could have happened there. I don't know, obviously, but
it seemed a bit of rush to sack him. I mean, if they kept him next year, how would it have been any different? Maybe
it'd have been
interesting just to know, because it still boggled my mind. He could still be manager now if he had the extra year.
It's the same with Van Gaal as well. The football under Van Gaal wasn't exactly vintage, but like you say, that was always going to be a 3-year project, and he got two.
Yeah.
And again, in the similar situation we are now, we'd cracked it against the big teams under Van Gaal. I think we had the best record in the league against the top six or whatever it was. And again, it was just struggling against the top teams. And obviously, we did win the trophy under Van Gaal.
The difference was as well, like Moyes, Van Gaal, when they got players in, it was just like for like, where Mourinho came in and changed it. Yeah, we won a couple of trophies, but I think they're trying to change it back into playing the United way now.
Yeah, I think the main criticism of Mourinho wasn't the trophies, because we don't judge people by trophies, apparently. It was the football. So, I mean, that's what we're trying to work towards. We're trying to get the identity sort of thing back. And Ollie said that was his job description when he came in. It was put smiles back on faces and play attacking
football. People forget, Cameron will tell you over there, when he was at Chelsea, he won games and won trophies, but football was boring.
Yeah.
And when he left, they were in the shit. And it's just funny now that he was there, he played boring football, we won a couple of trophies, and he left us in the shit.
Yeah. So we'll get a few. Owen Coyle's getting mentioned now.
Owen Coyle's at Chennai, mate.
He's
doing bits in India. He's doing bits for Chennai and FC.
Can't imagine his accent getting going down well in India. It's quite hard to understand.
And linked with Enrique and what's this about this football director? I don't know who he is.
I think it was the Independent came out with that today. I think, was he not the I think he's former PSG director of football, which again I'm not too sure about that.
Well, there's another name that I don't know who he is. Was it Rangnick? No idea where he's from.
All I know about that Enrique fella is that he did work at PSG, which I don't think that's going to suit us, because at PSG, you're literally just limitless in terms of money.
Yeah. Which player sells the most shirts? Let's get it.
Yeah, it's not... I wouldn't say that one is for us. No. Van Aar would have been off anyway after his third year. Moyes had zero pull in the transfer market.
Can argue that, yeah.
Yeah,
did he really need to sign many players? At the time, we were the champions and he had that squad. And I don't think he went... He didn't want to come in. The main problem, he changed all the backroom stuff. That was the problem.
Yeah.
He didn't want to change that team up too much. I don't think it worked out that way, but he should have gone an extra year.
I think Moyes' biggest downfall was, like I say, getting rid of the backroom stuff. And I do feel like, obviously, people gone about the void that Ferguson left. I do feel like David Gill leaving as well at the same time.
I think it's a load of rubbish. It's a load of rubbish because Fergie ran the club.
Yeah, but so David Gill gets more.
It's not that allowed him. Ferguson just run that club. David Gill did what he had to do. Woodward's probably doing more than Gill ever did.
Yeah.
He's making more money, he's doing more deals, all that. But the difference is we don't have a manager who runs a club.
Right.
If Woodward had been in charge, was in there when Fergie was in there, he'd be people saying, oh, what, he's miles better than David Gill, but it's because we haven't got anyone running the club. Mm. And they put in this guy who's a business guy, he's got no footballing knowledge. How is he supposed to run the club?
Yeah. People were calling me out because apparently I missed out Thomas Tuchel, which I didn't miss out, I just didn't see your comment. But saying Tuchel's won trophies in the past as well, and then his previous comment was, sack Ollie, get Tuchel. I think it is another one. I don't really want anyone from PSG.
No.
So I feel like you've gone from having it really easy, then you've got to come into, I wouldn't say a mess, but it's certainly a big job at United.
You just want someone who's been doing a stable job somewhere. Yeah.
For me, if it's not Ollie, it's Nagelsmann from...
That's been mentioned.
That's my pick, if anyone, because he's worked with very little and he's produced a lot.
Do you think that's what attracts the United board to Poch? I mean, it isn't true, but there seems to be some sort of theory that Poch hasn't spent money at Spurs and that team, he built it from nothing, and you know,
he's not true though.
The wonderful Messiah. Do you think because he supposedly didn't spend that much money, Woodward's looking at that and thinking, well, he can do
that? Might be a reason, but if you look at it, the only season he didn't actually spend money was last season when they didn't buy any players,
and then the following season he was sacked.
Yeah, so should tell you something.
I think with Poch, I think he gets a lot of applaud. It's just for simply getting Tottenham to the Champions League,
I mean, it was a good achievement to do that.
You have to put it into context of that club's expectations. For Tottenham, you don't expect to get to a Champions League final. For a Tottenham, you only expect a top four. So anything more than that, you're lauded as some fantastic manager.
But it's baffling because, like I say, I'm not calling Tottenham a lesser team, but on a European stage, they're not a powerhouse. No. Lesser teams have got to cut finals before, and it, you don't get a, well, you do get a, you do get a medal for getting to the final, but it's not the one that you want today, is it?
You don't remember
it. No. Let's look at a few more.
My Nagelsmann hasn't won anything. I can't do it. Deluded.
Yeah, is that you getting called a leader?
Yeah.
Give Ollie time, he might win trophies. Yeah, I think, like I say, I think there's two ways of looking at it with Ollie. I think he's either, like you say, getting the culture back into the club, identifying a style of play which suits the players we've got, possibly to step aside for whoever the right man is to come in.
Yeah, the way I'd, if he was to go, the way I'd want him to go is he's got to finish building this team.
Yeah.
Mm. And if he gets almost there and he can't do that extra step to win the league or win these trophies, that's when you got to get someone in that squad's already built, then that team's already built.
Yeah.
And you get someone who can actually move on with it.
Yeah, because you have to remember he's halfway through it. You don't want him to go and then have someone take over. Yeah, actually, I don't like what he did. We have to start again.
Yeah. So obviously looking ahead for United now, we've got Bruges on Thursday night. Thursday night football's back. We're all buzzing about that. Get and obviously the Watford game on the Sunday. With the top four being...
Gallo derby.
With the top four race being so tight as it is, it's difficult with the squad that we've got and obviously the injuries, so we're quite limited. Do you feel like we should push more for the Europa League and get into the Champions League that way? Or obviously fifth spot might be a...
Yeah, when we did it with Mourinho and won the Europa League, we were never getting top four. But I wrote us off saying we won't be able to get there now, but I think we're not that far off really now. And I think that's down to the other teams being tight.
Yeah, when you look at it, like, we are in seventh, but when it's relative to the league, like seventh and it's 3 points off fourth. It's not.
It's not that bad. No. It's not as bad as it looks. But in terms, I think Europa League is probably our best chance just because of how inconsistent we are. Yeah. Whereas in a knockout, it's just how you perform on that day.
Exactly, but that's the problem. It's one loss and you're out. Yeah. So the exactly. league's always, you've always got to go with the league because
I'd like
you guaranteed it if you play start playing well. Yeah. You can afford to lose a game.
Yeah. Where is the Europa League final? Is it in some sort of not random?
I don't know.
I've not looked.
No clue.
Don't think. Does anybody know?
So look, Cam's doing a bit of research. I'm going to assume by
Poland.
Poland. Oh, she's Poland.
He's butchered that.
So it's not too far away then. For you, obviously, in an ideal world again, what do you prefer doing? Do you feel like winning the Europa League, getting to the Champions League that way is better? Do you enjoy it more, or first simply finishing top four? Or fifth,
I think,
in this case?
The league is more important, the position. But we want a trophy, don't we? Yeah. If we won the trophy,
it would just be a good trip, good fun, wouldn't it?
I feel like the Europa League one. I feel like the novelty, not that we ever wanted to be in that competition, but I feel like the novelty did wear off after we won it the first time. Because obviously that winning that did complete the set, and we just sort of way
I mean,
to look at like that.
The win-win situation would be finish fourth and win the Europa League. Yeah.
That would mean
100%. So obviously, briefly going over the Europa League game there, looking ahead to Watford on Sunday.
Igalo derby. Yeah.
I think we should be. We've got to be confident after beating Chelsea.
You all think so, yeah.
And the next, obviously, it's home game, so. Yeah.
History dictates we'll now lose this game.
Yeah. This has got to be a turning point, that, like with 3 points off the top four.
Yeah.
They've got to really think, right.
And obviously, Spurs and Chelsea play each other as well, so.
Exactly.
Oh,
so,
we've got to
win that game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we will win it. It's going to be a tight game.
Yeah, I can't see it being a pretty game to watch.
So they've got good players in that team, and we've just struggled against them already. So just something tells me that's going to be.
Yeah, it's one of those games that, obviously, like I said, was it City and Everton? City and Spurs. You beat them, went on drew to Everton at home, when Everton weren't as good as they are now. It is set up for us to not win.
I can see it being a 1-0.
But we've got another string to our bow now. We've got someone who can cross the ball from a corner.
Yeah.
So we might be scoring.
How good was that last time?
I mean, when's the last time you saw that?
99.
It was. Yeah. And then we can get more goals that way. I'm not saying Maguire's going to get them on target.
It's been such a frustrating thing this season, that as well, because we've had the players to do it. Obviously, Maguire's been a starter. When Matic has come back in, Matic is tall. Obviously, Bailly last night, he's been strong in the air. And we've just never had.
To be fair, I think Maguire's had three this season where he should have scored.
He should have scored, yeah.
Well, I think he admitted that last night, didn't he? In his post-match, I think he said he's had chances to score. And obviously, he got his first goal against Tranmere, which you'd probably rather score that goal than a header in the box.
I'm looking forward to Sunday, though. Get Igalo off the bench from a corner. Bang. Absolute scene to the strip then. Love it. Can't wait.
I don't know what I was going to say.
Igalo FC, that's what he's going to say. He's just thinking about the scenes, that's what he's doing.
When I look at the ground, I always just picture Martial's goal against Liverpool. And I feel like if Igalo nets against Watford,
he's going to jump into the stand or something.
I feel like when I look at that certain place in the ground now, I'm just going to see the exact same. I hope it's not a shit goal.
Get a knee slide in there.
It doesn't matter.
But a part of me hopes it does a shit goal.
I hope it's a scrap.
It doesn't matter how we win. If we win Sunday, I think that'll put us back on track. At the moment, I'm still umming and ahhing whether we can get top four.
Yeah.
But I think if we win Sunday, and like you say, with the Spurs and Chelsea, I think we've got a real chance. So I don't care how we do it.
No.
Just win, please.
Right, we are going to wrap it up there. Just before we go, quick score prediction for Thursday's game.
3-0.
3-0.
4-0, Igalo hat-trick. Get in.
I'll go for 2-0. And then looking ahead to Sunday as well. What do you think?
2-0.
1-0, Igalo from a corner at the Stretford end. Absolute scenes.
We are going to wrap it up there, guys. Cheers for joining. Make sure you leave a like on the video. I think Cameron's left the links to where you can find Dave and Karthik in the description down below. Subscribe if you haven't already. Give it a share as well. And we'll see you in the next one. In a bit.